Yo, what up?
It's episode 29. We're coming hot out the gates.
Hot out the gates.
We're back again with the Bad Words Boys. Hopefully you guys tuned in and checked out the Brothers Conrad, which was a little step outside the norm from what we typically do, which is why this is still episode 29, and we're still doing what we do. Ain't that right, Big Dick?
Hell yeah.
We're
still bad words.
We're still bad words, and bad words are known to happen around here. By the time you hear this, it'll be probably around Christmas time, maybe a little thereafter, so we're going to do a special Christmas treat. It's a Christmas treat.
A Christmas teaser. But we're not teasing. We're serious.
We'll sing. Christmas time is here. The saddest of all Christmas songs. We're gonna kick it off with a preview review right off the bat, and I think in listening to previous episodes we would like play the trailer and let you all hear what we were hearing, and I don't know that that's the biggest treat for you guys, so this time we're gonna pause it, watch it, and then we'll talk.
Okay, sounds good.
Let's try that. So we're just gonna pause it real quick and we're gonna watch Noah, the official trailer, and we'll go into it when we come back. All right, so we just watched the trailer for Noah. It's, you know, you can watch it on YouTube. It's Noah official trailer number one.
It looks fucking sick.
Yeah, so just the breakdown on this is it's directed by Darren Aronofsky, who he directed films such as Black Swan, The Fountain, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Couple others. Did he do Pi?
I think he did.
Pi.
Yeah.
Starring Russell Crowe, a.k.a. Jor-El, Emma Watson, a.k.a. Hermione, and Jennifer Connelly, a.k.a. Eyebrows McConnelly, and Anthony Hopkins,
a.k.a.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Holy shit, my mind is gone.
So, I guess right on the front, this is based on the story of Noah from the Bible, and a lot of people are probably going to be turned off based on that, because at least like the younger set, because it just seems to me a lot of people have no interest whatsoever in Christian mythology. Because they feel like, oh, I'm not a Christian, or I don't believe in that stuff, so I'm not interested. But, you know, if you like watching Thor or something, I don't see any reason why you might not be.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. This is from the Old Testament. This is all the, like you said, mythological shit, like the badass, where all the badass, hardcore, cool stories come from.
Yeah, so.
And this shit looks. This is not how I pictured it as a child hearing this story.
No, you pictured it kind of pussified, like a smiling dude making a boat and a bunch of giraffes hanging out. Instead, the trailer kicks off with Russell Crowe staring pensively off at a mountain. I don't know if it's Mount Sinai or Mount whatever.
Zion.
Mount Zion. Who knows what kind. It's some biblical mountain. He's staring at it. He looks at his feet, and what's he standing? Stand in some sort of mud, blood, or something. And then a little scene from the garden, which shows a serpent and an apple being plucked. Bunch of action going on, like some stuff from maybe earlier in the Bible. It shows
some,
like
some shit from deep back.
Yeah, it shows. All right, what's this show? It shows people trekking along on a fucked up land. It shows like a Cain and Abel type of murder scene with old ass Anthony Hopkins looking old ass with long ass hair and looking like he looks like he's gonna be have fun storming the castle.
Yeah, he looks like some fucking creature.
He looks like the Rings. He looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
Looks like Schmeagol, Gollum. He looks like maybe he's got a like missing teeth or something. He's talking. And then, boom, it's showing meteorites striking the Earth.
Some Sodom and Gomorrah shit.
Yeah, maybe people getting turned to pillars of salt. And then Noah comes back. He's chilling under the water for a second, but then he's got a nice shaved head. Before he had flowing locks, then boom. He shows up with his new Spartan look, shaved head, beard. He's like, we need to build an ark. I don't really know what an ark is.
I don't...
There's the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
I think an ark is a container.
A vessel.
A vessel. And this ark looks nothing like... We always picture Noah's Ark being like a big red boat or something with a house on top of it.
Like a giant ship or something. This looks like looks like a Connex box.
Like a watertight box. They've sealed it off with some tar or something.
It's all built up. Yeah, it's fucking weird looking. Almost looks like, almost looks kind of tank-like. It's got like a... like an angled thing in the middle, some holes in it where you could mount some cannons or something.
Yep. So, on Wikipedia, it says the Ark in religion can refer to a cabinet used to store a synagogue Torah scroll, or the Ark of the Covenant is a consecrated container for tablets of the Ten Commandments, a boat for the infant Moses, the Ark of Bulrashes. Is what that was called. Noah's Ark, according to Abrahamic religions, a large boat built by Noah to keep him safe, together with his family and a core of breeding stock of the world's animals. I don't think they suggest that he loads two of every animal on it. Maybe it says that he does in the Bible or something, but I think like the main drive here is he's loading food on there. Food and his family.
Well, they show all the animals a little bit later in the
preview. There's a mob of animals coming.
Yeah.
You got Jennifer Connelly. You got Hermione. You got the whole family. They're all dirty. They're all dingy. You got this old ass other bastard coming around being like, hey, we want to get on your boat. And then Bert.
Yeah, he seems to be like a king of some sort and talking about them defying him. And
yeah, he's like, hey, we told you not to build boats.
Yeah.
What are you doing building a boat, you crazy bastard? You live on a hill. And then
live in the mountains, in the desert.
Yeah, you live in the foothills over here. And now we all want to get on your boat, and all these guys rush out, and they're like, oh, shit! Because they get hit by geysers of water spilling out of the earth.
Spurting from beneath their feet.
I always thought that it just rained a lot.
Yeah, but it makes sense that there's...
saying, like, now, there's something going on under the surface. It's spewing out, blasting all these soldiers as they come try and get on. Then it shows more stuff of people in a field and a dude with a sword that he smashes into the grass.
Yeah.
Stabs the grass, and what happens, Dick?
The sword is on fire, and the grass gets set aflame as well.
Who knows? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic for the eye.
Obviously, it's not following the traditional story.
It might be.
It could be.
I don't know if in the Bible if there's somebody sticking a flaming sword into some flaming grass. So it goes on, and Noah's crying on his boat, and water's splashing on his boat. And then it shows it set adrift on Memory Bliss. And it's just a fucking... it's a shipping box floating around. And that's it. And that's the Noah movie. And I'm very interested
in this. I'm very interested in that as well. I might even see it in theaters.
I'm going to probably see that one in the theaters.
Yeah.
Here's a controversial opinion. I think Passion of the Christ is a fucking badass movie.
I thought Passion of the Christ was fucking great. Saw that in theaters as well.
Yeah, it's... to me, I'm really interested in these Christian mythology movies.
Not I feel like it's almost like an untapped resource. Like, they could do some really cool shit with some of these wild old stories.
It's a time-honored thing for Hollywood to make biblical movies.
Yeah.
You got Ten Commandments, and you arguably like Ben-Hur and shit like
that. Yeah, Ben-Hur.
This stuff is all like you know.
Those things are fucking long, though.
And they sure are.
I remember watching the Ten Commandments, and it came in VHS. Thank God there was two VHS tapes, or else I wouldn't have had a break.
Yeah, you need that break.
You need that break. You need that intermission.
I remember I owned Magnolia on DVD. Bought it right when it came out. That was a two-discer.
Yeah, that's a mighty flick as well.
I always thought that was strange when you had to either flip your disc or put in a new disc.
Isn't the shit supposed to be better?
I've owned DVDs that have like 15 hours of supplemental material. What the fuck are we doing?
Does that mean the VHS version of Magnolia was like 3 or 4 tapes long or what?
I have no fucking clue. Either way, I give this a C. It looks like it's visually exciting and got some good actor. I got the hiccups again. Second episode in a row. It's got some good actors. It's a great director. Yeah, why not? May as well take in the feast for the eyes at very least. So that's where I'm at on the Noah trailer.
It's a good place to be.
Really interested in it. And I, frankly, I'm not too stoked on the idea of people picking on this without seeing it. Just based on their own personal opinions about religion or whatever. Like, just fucking calm down. You can just go see a movie and enjoy it.
Yeah, you can remove yourself from what it is.
This guy here, he posted his reaction to the trailer. Like, just his face as he's watching. This is on YouTube. It's called Noah Trailer Reaction. Just like a Latino fella sitting there watching a trailer. He's making faces at the screen. Who wants to see this? Why am I watching this? Why did he do this, Dick?
I don't know.
He's not even that expressive. Most of it's just him being all slack-jawed. He yells some of the same shit that we just said. Maybe that's why he did it, because he wanted to do a preview review, but he's not allowed on Bad Words. And he'll never be allowed on Bad Words, even with that Joker poster in his back behind him. Fuck that guy.
So we've got
Bullet Bourbon.
We've got Bullet Bourbon.
We got Bitch Creek beers and some other shit beer.
Yeah, it's called Sneak Attack. I fucking do not recommend it at all.
Ooh, it's bad.
It's really bad. It's a Saison.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah. The artwork is fucking sick. And it's got a cool little disclaimer on the back. Let me read it to you real quick. This is kind of what sold us. You might not expect a Saison in winter, but the enemy didn't expect Washington to cross the icy Delaware.
I wouldn't expect a Saison at any time because I never had one.
You know what? I've had them before, and they've been all right. But it continues with, expectations be damned. We say we're sneaking up on winter with a boatload of bravado and this Belgian-style farmhouse ale. This shit fucking... This is garbage. It's garbage beer.
It tastes bad. It's got cardamom, which I don't think I like cardamom. It's not good. Bitch Creek?
You get a thumbs down.
No, Bitch Creek gets the
thumbs up. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Sneak Attack. You get a thumbs down.
Bitch Creek gets a thumbs up. It's an extra special brown.
Yeah. It doesn't even... Browns, I think of as, like, thick and kind of rough to drink.
This has got kind of a pale ale vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we've been into, so... Yeah. That's just a bit of an aside. So, Noah, I want you to see it, just in closing. And it ties into the theme of this. This is an extra special Christmas with the Bad Words boys. And it kind of ties in, because that's about the Bible, and Christmas is the second holiest day of the calendar year for Christians.
That's the same reason we're drinking Bitch Creek right now.
Yeah.
It's extra special. And it ties into Christmas.
Merry Christmas from the Bitch Creek. But, second most holy day. First being Easter, right? I think most Christians would agree.
Yeah, Easter Sunday.
Because it's kind of a bigger deal to come back
that whole weekend. Yeah, Good Friday, Easter Sunday.
The big deal when you come back from the dead. Not as big of a deal when you just are born, because I was born. You were born.
I was born.
Probably won't come back from the dead.
But were you born to a virgin?
No.
Nor was I. That's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal. That's something that's worth hiding some eggs over. Hey! But yeah, with it being the Christmas edition, I looked up some wacky Christmas facts.
Nice.
And I'll share them with you now.
What do you got?
Some of them are wacky, some of them are less than wacky. How about this one? Hospitals reported 4 broken arms last year after cracker pulling accidents.
Cracker pulling?
Yeah. This is somebody British wrote this, so some of the shit that they do is a little strange.
Okay, what's cracker pulling? Does that mean like popping open the bag of crackers? Maybe they whack their elbow or something? Yeah. Serious?
Crackers are for those of you who don't know, they're like the. It's basically like, imagine wrapping paper with like a ball in the middle, and you grab, and it's twisted on each side like a candy wrapper.
Oh, I'm thinking like a bag of like Ritz or something like that, and they're popping it open. And
I think they're talking about these crackers where you, it's got a little treat inside, and
got
you pull
it.
Each
yeah.
side, and it cracks it open. And there's a little treat in there, but 4 Brits last year broke the, or the year before this was written, broke their arms.
Word.
That's just irresponsible.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's stupid.
Almost as stupid as me thinking they were talking about Ritz crackers.
You just got to be careful. They got to be careful. Everyone's just got to be careful.
You got to watch out.
This one got me, but I think there's an explanation for this.
All right.
3 people die each year after testing to see how if a 9-volt battery has a charge. They test it on their tongues.
Yeah.
And 3 people die from that each year on Christmas. You think they got like a pacemaker, or maybe just that little jolt is enough to bring on a heart attack and somebody with...
It's got
to
be like a pacemaker thing or something like that. Get some sort of electronics in their body. Because I've been duped into doing that before.
You gotta be...
Before I knew what it was, what it would do. And the shock wasn't that great.
You just test it.
Yeah.
I test them all the time. Tested 1 2 days ago. I'm fine.
And you got a heart murmur.
I do. This one I'm going to have to translate maybe a little bit too. 18 people had serious burns in 1998 after trying on a new jumper with a lit cigarette in their mouth. I think they're talking about like pajamas or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, the 18 people smoking a butt, just trying it on. You know how that fuzz, it's fun to burn off your socks and stuff? I imagine these are like flannel pajamas.
Yeah, totally.
They throw them on. 18 people didn't know to stop, drop, and roll.
Maybe onesies are real popular. 18 fucking people. That's 18. A lot.
And they're smoking butts, so you imagine that it's an adult.
Oh, yeah.
There might be some hard-smoking kids out there. In Glasgow and in Liverpool and
yeah,
the streets of London trying on their onesies.
Mean streets of London.
19 people died in the last 3 years believing that Christmas decorations were chocolate. How fucking hungry do you gotta be? I can understand maybe taking a little nibble.
Maybe like a little gingerbread house or something like that.
What kind of decorations are we dealing with? And I think that the writer of this probably got it wrong. It probably wasn't just that they thought they were chocolate. Candy in general.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's like a little jeweled ornament or something. But then it says...
Imagine that's a lot of children.
It says that 19 of them died, though. You gotta do, like, maybe that first bite you hurt your teeth or something, but they took it to the point where
they swallowed.
They died.
Yeah.
They swallowed, and you can swallow a lot of stuff and not die from it.
Well, there's a lot of those ornaments are made out of that super thin glass.
Maybe you just sliced them up and they bled out internally.
Also, maybe there's some like electronically charged ones, and
they chew it up and swallow it down.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
You'd think that once you got it in your mouth, you'd be like, "Oh shit, that tastes like an ornament." What the fuck am I doing? That didn't taste right. All right, 31 people have died since 1996 by watering their Christmas tree while the fairy lights were plugged in.
That's just plain fucking human error. That's stupid.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. Just a slip up.
The fairy lights? That's what they call them.
They call them fairy lights.
I call them light lights. Christmas lights.
I don't know why. I like fairy lights.
Yeah, fairy lights works.
Let's see. 58 people are injured each year by using sharp knives instead of screwdrivers. That's a mistake anyone can make.
True.
We've all used a butter knife real quick.
Uh-huh.
You slip a little bit and...
Yeah, I've used my knives to unscrew some screws and things and definitely fucked myself up before.
101 people since 1997 have had broken parts of plastic toys pulled out of the soles of their feet. And I guarantee that of that 101, that 98 of them were Legos. The sharpest, cruelest thing to stand on. Yeah, I don't think that one's too crazy. That's not wacky to me.
No. That makes perfect sense.
There's toys scattered everywhere if you're doing it right for your kids.
Yeah, and especially Legos. I'll bet you're right with that.
Legos! Over 142 people were injured in 1998 by not removing all the pins in their new shirts. Here in the States, they don't put pins in shirts very often anymore, do they?
Yeah. But it's usually like your flannels. Might be like folded up
like
real
nice.
Nicer
flannel.
Yeah, yeah. Like when it's folded up real nice, or like dress shirts and shit.
You gotta keep in mind too that that's 142 people who had their injury reported.
Oh yeah.
So they like went. They had to scoot down to the ER and be like, "I got this pin in me." Me? If I had a pin stuck, I'd pull the pin out and move on with my day.
Might even just leave it in.
Fuck it. New piercing.
Who cares?
Surface piercing, bro. Put a fucking ball on it, bro. Let's hang something from it. Ah, I got a pin stuck in my neck. Get the mini dream catcher and hang it from it, bro. Let's have some fun with this.
Someone bring me a yin yang, man.
A yin yang. A little fucking tchotchke. Just fucking attach it. This wasn't like a bad mistake. This was a free piercing.
Something good came of this. Thank you, shirt.
Oh, two Christmas gifts. A nice new fucking flannel and a surface piercing.
And I got a cool dye job on that flannel now.
It's cool.
It's tie-dye. Soaked in blood.
And finally, 543 people were admitted to A&E, which I'm assuming is their ER.
The ER, yeah.
So 543 people went to the ER over the last 2 years after opening bottles of beer with their teeth. That's reasonable.
No.
That's reasonable.
It's not reasonable. The magnitude of people is not reasonable.
That's reasonable. Sometimes... That's a dangerous tactic.
I feel like I've watched you do that before.
I've opened bottles of beer with my teeth. It's not the wisest thing you can do, but I've done it, which is why I'm saying this is reasonable.
You never had to go to the ER, though.
No,
not
but
even if you cut your lip
If I cut myself or if I broke a tooth, especially on Christmas, I'm not going to the fucking ER.
Yeah, you put some super glue on it.
They got better things to do over there, right?
Yeah.
Better stuff. So yeah, that's those are my wacky Christmas facts that I found when I was taking a poop.
Have you watched any of those videos of like the Christmas, the Black Friday rush? Didn't we talk about that?
Black Friday?
Yeah, around our Thanksgiving time.
I don't know that we did a podcast around Thanksgiving.
I don't know that we did either. It might have been while we were on our hiatus.
Thinking things over.
Yeah. Some of those videos are crazy. Like, people fucking straight punching people, throwing people on the ground just to get their fucking PS... whatever the fuck is going on. PS4 or whatever's popular right now. Xbox One.
People are... we'll punch each other out for a piece of shit that's not even 10% off. People are crazy, man.
Videos of people rushing into stores, just toppling over the security guys and running over people. I feel like the invasion of Iraq was less hectic.
You know why? It's because people listen to music like this. People listen to music like that, and it makes them want to go to Target and get fucking crazy.
We went to Target today. Actually, we heard that song right beforehand. Made me want to go to Target.
Yeah.
So yeah. I got that idea.
See? People will listen to some stupid music and then be like, I need to go do something dumb. So we went to Target.
Spend some money.
It was the dumbest thing we could think to do.
It was the dumbest thing.
And by God, we did it.
We bought beer afterwards.
Yep, these very beers that we drink now.
Probably the smartest thing we could have ever done.
Smartest. Best. Although, my purchase was not the best. These fucking...
you know, but I co-signed on that purchase, so it's a mutual loss.
I just like sniffing this bullet bourbon.
It makes you remember how rugged it is hitting your throat.
No, it's really not too bad.
I like it. I think it tastes great.
I do too.
But it really burns.
Let me see. Let me remember. Here's a little bit of a burn.
Yeah.
You feel it?
Kind of like a Maker's Mark burn.
You feel it in the nose, really. In the nose. The nose always knows. That Toucan Sam knew something.
You got a Netflix pick?
You know me.
Yeah, you got like...
I always got a couple Netflix picks. I know that you don't.
I don't. We've been watching exclusively holiday films.
Only.
None of which have really been on Netflix
either. Do you have any new favorites or anything?
Yes. I watched Fred Claus the other night. Vince Vaughn and...
I think you alluded to it last episode, but...
Did I?
I think you alluded to it.
Did I talk about it?
No.
Feel like I just watched it like two days ago.
Tell us all about it.
Vince Vaughn is Fred Claus, Santa Claus's brother. And I'm trying to think of the other dude's name. I can't think of him right now. I don't know why. Pulling up my trusty IMDb app.
Here's something weird.
Yeah.
I was gone last night. And it looks like my wife might have watched on Netflix about a little less than half of a Ron White stand-up special. Isn't that fucked up?
Yes.
She doesn't even like stand-up comedy. The fuck? And he's got to be one of the worst. You know that guy.
I don't know.
He's a tater salad guy. This guy?
He looks like a fucking douche.
He's an idiot.
So anyways, Vince Vaughn is Fred Claus, Santa Claus's brother, and Paul Giamatti plays Santa Claus. And they start out as kids. Vince Vaughn's character, Fred, gets pretty fucking butthurt that Giamatti's character, Santa, is getting all the fucking, you know, all their parents' love. Their parents are constantly saying, oh, I wish you were more like your brother, all this shit. So he grows up jaded and shitty. He just gets fucking pissed. And he's doing his own thing, living in New York, and trying to make a deal. He's always hitting his brother up for money. He's always short on money. Can't find a good job. Hates Christmas. Finally, calls up his brother because he's got a deal that needs to go through before, like 2 days before Christmas. And he's like, hey, I need to borrow $50,000 because his brother never says no.
He never says no.
Never says no to his brother. And his brother's like, well, come up and work for me for the next 4 days until Christmas because we're behind right now. And I'll give you the money. He's like, all right, well, I need the money on the 23rd. He's like, all right. So they go up there. They work. Vince Vaughn, he ends up getting pissed. He hates the working up there. He hates being up there. He's trying to do things a better way as he sees it. You know, they only play Christmas music there. He's trying to get him to play some rock and roll and whatnot. Just kind of keeps fucking up. They've also got an inspector up there at the time who says, you fuck up this year, you have 3 strikes. You hit all 3 strikes, you're done. You're shut down. You're not Santa Claus anymore. And he ends up hitting all 3 strikes, and the final straw is Vince Vaughn's going through and marking every kid as nice because he feels like every kid deserves a present on Christmas. Some of them fall to, you know, circumstance and end up fucking up on account of that and end up getting marked naughty. He doesn't think that's right. So he marks every one of them as nice. This dude finds out, and the dude is Kevin Spacey, the inspector.
Okay.
Just being a cocksucker. And Kevin Spacey finds out and shuts him down. Meanwhile, Vince Vaughn goes back to New York, says fuck it. He has his 50 grand. And then he can't sleep one night, gets up the next morning, still awake, and just conscience is getting to him. Flies back up, like takes all kinds of trips back up to the North Pole. Gets up there and he's like, all right, elves, I know you've been shut down. Santa got fucked up. His back's all fucked up. They got shut down. Tells the elves, he was like, what can you make for boys and girls that are, that's easy to make, that you can just bust out real quick? Baseball bat, hula hoop. Boom. Tells him to bust out as many of those, and he takes the reins on the reindeer. Goes, flies around, delivers the kids the toys, and makes it happen.
And all the kids get our baseball bats and hula
hoops? No, I mean, they made a bunch of toys beforehand, but most of the kids are getting baseball bats and hula hoops. But
hey,
everyone gets a toy.
Everyone.
That's the idea behind it, is that every kid gets a toy. Everyone gets something.
That's sweet. It's also...
It
also sounds like a Pinko agenda.
Yeah.
Every kid gets it.
But...
No, that's
it's
sweet.
A good, it's nice as sentiment. It's as a Christmas film should be. Very heartwarming.
Christmas time. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's a... 1, 2, 3... Christmas time is an important time of the year. And also around Christmas time, every kid does deserve a toy. Because regardless of if they've been good, bad, or whatever throughout the year, when it's Christmas time, it's not to celebrate that child. It's to celebrate Christmas time.
And family.
And family. And, you know, if you're a person of faith, to celebrate that element of it. And if nothing else, to celebrate the winter and having made it through what is oftentimes a brutal year, and being right there, poised for New Year's, and New Year's is a celebration for adults.
Yeah.
And Christmas time is a celebration for children.
Yeah. That's why they're a week apart. You need a week to recoup.
And that's also why it's kind of fucked up that we feel pressured to buy gifts for everybody, and it's not about that.
I think almost purely out of guilt. I hate receiving gifts. Really hate it. It's weird, right? Like,
no, I agree. It's hard to take something you didn't earn.
Yeah, exactly. And I love giving gifts, but I always end up receiving them, you know?
Look, I know that it's Christmas time, but I don't need anything.
Yeah.
I got what I want. I take care of myself during the year because my needs are very limited. I like a good food. I like a good drink.
I like clean underwear and clean socks.
I like those things. I like fucking my comic books, which you can't pick for me.
No.
I like my movies, which you ain't picking. Well, a lot of times you are picking them for me because we're watching something else. And that's about that. I don't need anything. This is for the children. But either way, let's enjoy this time of the year. You know, totally. Let's just enjoy ourselves.
Is this your pick?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No. I read the whatever fucking review they got up on there, the little plot, and it sounded interesting, but ended up passing it up. I don't remember what I traded it off for, but.
Well, here's a little cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You guys don't know a movie we're talking about for my week's Netflix picks. We're going to cut to a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. So we're back. The movie that we're talking about is Movie 43, which I was skeptical about because the cover makes it look kind of lame. It's like a woman's crotch with the Movie 43 written there.
Kind of looks like a 70s porn flick or something.
Yeah. But it's a series of vignettes about this guy who's pitching movie ideas, and they're all kind of gross and kind of funny. And they're directed by different people, and there's a lot of star power in this flick. I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish.
Really?
I thought it was fucking great.
This thing's got two and, like, maybe a fucking corner of a star on it.
Yeah. That's a dumb rating. That's a super low rating for a super entertaining flick. This isn't going to challenge you. It's not a cerebral thing. It's just fucking fun. In the same way, like, maybe you like an Adam Sandler flick from time to time. Or, like, a gross-out comedy. This is right there for you.
Awesome.
Perfect to put on when you had a bullshit day and you just want to kick back and watch something fun.
Cool.
So check out Movie 43.
I definitely will.
It's a movie. It's a movie. And my other pick is I like to do at least a TV show and a movie. My TV show pick is called Final Offer. And here's the premise. It's a reality show. People will bring in something that they think has like a good amount of value. And there's four different antique dealers.
Mm-hmm.
And they get them together. Each of them has like a specialty. Like one guy deals in like a lot of weird stuff like bones and curiosities.
Yeah.
They put him in one room. They got another guy. His specialty is like movie memorabilia. Celebrity type stuff. They put him in another room. They got another guy whose specialty is in like arts stuff. Whether it's stuff that artists will use for a show or art for himself or whatever. Put him in another room. And then the other guy is he's kind of dealing more in straight antiques.
Okay.
So all four of them are in different rooms. The person shows up with their good, and it's kind of like Antiques Roadshow. They all take a quick look at it, and they have an opportunity to say a thing or two to the person who brought in the product. Then they all go to their rooms, and based on that, the person who's looking to sell the product picks a room and goes into it. And they try and negotiate for the best sale that they can with that dealer. Now, if that dealer makes them an offer that they decide to run with, they can't go into any other rooms. They just, like, made their deal, They sell the product for whatever that deal was for. If they leave that room and decide to see a different dealer, then they can't go back and take that previous deal.
So you're taking a gamble each time.
You're taking a gamble. The people in the different rooms don't know what the other people are offering unless the other person offers that information. They don't know if they're first, second, third, last, whatever. They're just legitimately negotiating.
Okay.
The sale will take place. Maybe the person went into two rooms. They'll come out and they won't say how much they sold it for. And the people that they didn't go to will say how much they would have offered. And then it's revealed how much they actually sold it for. Now, the cool thing about this show is that with a lot of these, like, antique-y things, like Pawn Stars and shit like that,
yeah,
they do a lot of, like, really canned, almost scripted-seeming, like, shit. This is really just, you see a cool thing, and then they aren't even carrying it around with them. They leave it in the main room, and they go, and it's just about the negotiations.
That's cool. So it's more like an updated version of Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick.
It's cool.
Except I think on Antiques Roadshow, they don't buy shit on there. I think that they just
tell them, like, what it's worth.
Like, hey, this is worth this.
But, yeah, this is a fun show. They just got one season up there. And it's got 6 episodes.
Not bad.
They're all like 43 minutes apiece. You can breeze through the series. And it's a good one. It'll make you happy.
Sounds like something the lady will like.
It's something you both will like.
Yeah.
Like, it's really kind of neat and fun to see, like, what interests different people. They're all interested in the products, typically.
Yeah.
But occasionally, people will go into a room and the person will be like, yeah, I'm not interested at all in this. And they just wasted a room. Sometimes people will walk away from a better deal than they could have got, or they should have seen a different dealer. You see how people's negotiation tactics are either good or bad. And the big thing that I got from it was, I feel like I learned how to be a really good price negotiator by watching this, which I'm not typically. But I know next time I go to buy a car or something where you're actually haggling over the price, or at a flea market or something like that, I feel like I'm going to go in with guns blazing, ready to get the best deal.
Feel like you're the next Walt Flanagan?
I feel like I'm the next guy who's going to save money.
Got it.
So, yeah, that's those are my Netflix picks. Now, I watched some shit from the Red Box, because Netflix has really, really got to step up.
They're not
putting
doing
some
so
better things on there, because
lately.
I'm a fanatical movie watch. I watch a movie or two a day, or a couple episodes of a TV show a day. I put it on when I go to bed. It helps me fucking unwind. I do a lot during the day. I work longer days than most people. I got to unwind.
Yeah.
And I unwind with my flicks. And I've watched almost everything that I care to watch on there. So I wait for new shit to come up. And new shit is not coming up at a rate that I approve of. And it's just not quality shit. It's not quality. Let's go down. I got Netflix open right now. I'm going down to... I have better luck. I don't care so much about new releases. I care mostly about recently added.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily need to see something that's brand new. I need to see something that's new to Netflix streaming. Looking through it right now...
Doesn't look so hot.
Nothing is jumping out at me. More of these fucking documentaries about bees dying. We know.
The tower looks like it could be a good...
The tower looks like garbage.
Yeah, but I feel like it's something we could get drunk and enjoy while eating a pizza or something.
Yeah, you gotta have pizza there. There's just a bunch of real shitty stuff. At least put up some documentaries that I like.
Go back. What's Switchmas?
Switchmas.
Keep going back.
Switchmas.
Is this one of those classics?
He's never celebrated Christmas, so he has lots and lots of time to make up for. As long as his parents don't find out.
Okay. I thought it was one of those classic switch body movies.
That would be great. Like, they're both peeing into the same toilet, and then lightning hits it, and an old guy's...
They're making out under the mistletoe, and just to see what it feels like, and they switch bodies.
Yeah. But yeah, there's been, like, a real lack of stuff that's made me... That's made me happy or interested at all.
So what do you get from the Red Box?
From the Red Box, I got the internship.
Oh yeah.
Which is a Vince Vaughn Owen Wilson joint, so of course I'm gonna love it.
No doubt.
I like both those guys a lot, and I know that's a controversial statement because a lot of people have strong opinions about both those guys, but I like them both, and I like them a whole lot when they're together.
A lot of people tried to compare that movie to Wedding Crashers. They're like, oh, it's not as good as Wedding Crashers. Well, of course it's not.
No. Wedding Crashers was lightning in a bottle.
That was next level shit. I know tons of people who've crashed weddings since then. With no luck. They get found out.
Yeah, get
time.
The fuck out. Yeah, it's an unfair comparison.
Totally.
I've got family members that work at Google, though, and they tell me that it was, like, filmed on campus. There's actually realistic elements of the movie, but it is propaganda for the Google machine.
For sure.
So if you don't like Google, then you're going to have a hard time with this movie. But
and why wouldn't you like Google?
There's nothing not to like about
Google. There's nothing not to like about
Google. Gmail, thank you. Google Drive, thank you. Google Play, thank you.
Google Search?
Google Docs. I'm a writer. I do my writing on Google Docs. It saved me a ton of money on a writing program. Google Docs is what I need. It's what I got. It's what I'm happy with. It's what I'm happy working with. Google, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And fucking working at Google looks so fucking fun.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
they go out of their way to make sure that their workplace is someplace that you will want to go to every day.
Yeah, and like I say, I got family that's employed there. They're very pleased with where they work. They feel like they're treated fairly. And they hope to continue working there, and I hope for their sake that they continue working there as well, because, by God, one day I might come knocking and hope that the Google tree showers me with such sweet fruit. So you Google conspiracy theorists who are like, oh, I got Gmail and it had ads that were geared toward my tastes based on the shit that I was talking about in my email... Calm down. Calm down. It's not like an NSA thing going on. It's just, it's a program that an egghead wrote to look for key phrases so that if you say, hey, buddy, you want to go hunting this weekend, it'll show you an ad for some shotgun shells or something.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. And
it doesn't even show you the ad. It's just like a little tiny bar up top.
Yeah, and
it's nothing to worry
about.
They
gotta make money. They're giving you on Google Gmail or whatever. It was a big deal when Gmail first came out. It was like, you get a gig of storage for free. No one was doing that shit. Yahoo and all these other emails. When I see someone who's still rocking a Yahoo email address, I feel sorry for them. I feel like they've fucking fallen out of step. The zeitgeist has moved toward Google. When you do a search, you aren't searching with Bing. You aren't searching with ListBot or fucking whatever. You're looking with Google because you want some fucking legitimate results. And the fact that they've taken that and they've parlayed it and they've connected over with YouTube and shit like that, yeah, it's a little spooky. Because if you go on YouTube and you decide to do something that I like to do, which is, hey, maybe I'm going to watch every Lady Gaga video back to back because they're fucking awesome. Maybe you worry that that's going to somehow connect to your Google Plus account that they started up for you that you knew nothing about. But
they did the same to me. I thought it was some Gmail shit.
Tis a small price to pay.
For sure.
Just Just get down, enjoy the products, enjoy Google, and enjoy the movie The Internship. Enjoy Vince Vaughn talking fast.
That's and the best enjoy... part about every Vince Vaughn movie. It's just him talking fast.
Enjoy him talking fast and enjoy Owen Wilson just being like, hey.
Being a fucking weirdo.
I'm just trying to fall in love all over again.
What else did you get?
Oh, this one was a little disappointing. I got Pacific Rim.
Yeah? We talked about that with such...
Yeah.
We were really excited
about it. It was cool, but... all right. It stars the dude who plays Jax in Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
And I can't stand him. He's everything that he says is like, hey, we gonna go fight some monsters?
That's that blonde-haired kid, right?
Yeah. Everything is like all throaty and like, hey... this and that, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I just don't like it. I do not like it. So, I did like the fucking, the robots fighting and stuff like that. And I just watched Hellboy on Netflix recently and loved it.
It's great, right?
Yeah. Guillermo del Toro is a fine director. And I think he had a great idea with Pacific Rim. I just didn't care for the choice of actors, and I would have loved more variety in the kaiju that they were fighting. You know?
I checked out a flick recently, not on Netflix, called I think I texted you about it, called The Family, starring one Robert De Niro.
Yeah, you did text me about it.
Who else is in it? Michelle Pfeiffer. And the girl from the Miller Family or Meet the Millers or whatever the fuck that movie's called. It's great. It's just a good, fun times movie about a mob family. Robert De Niro's like a mob boss or something like that, or underboss, and his boss dies. And he's on the run now. And he's got to move all the time. The FBI is, you know, keeping an eye on him. He ratted out a bunch of people after his boss went down and just decided, you know, fuck it. I'm going to rat all these motherfuckers out. Rats on him. Now he's on the run. He ends up in France. They've been all over the goddamn world. And every time they go somewhere, one of them fucks up. Either the wife kills someone, Robert De Niro kills someone, or something, some weird shit goes down. And yeah, it's just fun. It's really funny, you know, just watching them like all interact. You can't quite tell if they're a family or not, you know? Yeah. Like one of those kind of like family. They're all related. But it's kind of one of those interactions, like everyone's kind of disconnected from each other. The brother and sister seem really cool, like, with each other. They seem really tight. Really good character development, and just really fun film. I cool. enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a rent. Check out.
The other thing I got out of the Red Box was The World's End, which is a Simon Pegg, Nick Frost movie.
Fuck yeah.
Have you seen this?
I did.
Oh my god. It's a goddamn shame that movie didn't get more hype. That was just a good old... Let me set the stage. This is the team that did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
And a couple other things.
Run, Fat Boy, Run. I think it's just Simon Pegg in that one.
I don't think that's a team of.
Yeah.
The team is Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and the director, Edgar Wright, I believe is his name.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just
all those movies are fun.
Yeah, it was just fun. It's about this guy who, when he was a kid growing up in England, the small ass town. He and his buddies were gonna do like this little
like a pub crawl.
Pub crawl, yeah. 12 different pubs, 12 different pints. mix in some shots and some shenanigans. And the last bar is called The World's End. And when they were kids, they didn't quite finish the crawl. And Simon Pegg's memories of the crawl were like his finest moment in life.
Yeah.
Life hasn't treated him so well since then, and he's kind of depressed, and his friends have moved on, and they've become professionals and started families and stuff like that. He wants to relive that moment, so he contacts all of his friends that he did that with, his old tight crew from when he was a kid. And they all agree they'll get together and they'll do that crawl one more time. And they all get together and they start doing the crawl.
One of them, he struggled to get out there because he owed him money. So he borrows, I thought this was hilarious, he borrows money from all the other guys, like the other four dudes, to pay this guy back.
Yeah. Beyond that, it's just, you know, it's he had damaged relationships with some of these guys.
I think with all of them, it seems like.
Yeah. So he had a little bit of repairing to do with them. They all get together, they go on the crawl, and then out of nowhere, it becomes a sci-fi flick. And we'll leave it at that, but it's a shitload of fun. It's going to make you want to do your own little World's End crawl. Like, I immediately, as I was watching this, started mapping out in my mind how we would create our own little pub crawl in town.
Yeah.
And it's a fun movie. It's another one that's not gonna fry your brain trying to figure out what it's about or make you too deeply explore your emotions. But that's not the purpose of the film. The purpose of the film is, hey, let's have some fun.
And it's totally in the same veins of both Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like it.
So if you like Shaun of the Dead, and frankly, you aren't my friend if you don't like Shaun of the Dead, that's just a fucking fun movie. I know zombies are played out and everything, but that's like part of the gag of Shaun of the Dead. If you don't like that movie, come on. Come on.
Come on. Hot Fuzz. Nah.
Hot Fuzz wasn't as good as Shaun of the Dead, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
It was still pretty good. So, yeah. That's what I've been watching. Anything else cool that you've checked out? Be it something you watched on HBO Go or...
No, I've just been watching Christmas movies, man. Watched The Santa Claus probably a good two or three times now, maybe even more. Tried to watch The Santa Claus 2. It was terrible. Turns out they made a Santa Claus 3, which I was appalled by. What else?
Why did you watch it so many times?
On TV, mostly. It was just on.
Oh, I remember on. TV.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, I would like for us after this, which we're about to wrap up, I'd like for us to go
check out
Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
They're on their little mid-season break.
Yeah, it's a good time.
But that's a show that we enjoy. Then I guess this is a good time for us to talk about things that we enjoy. I enjoy a couple podcasts that I want to turn you guys on to if you haven't been listening to. My brother told me a while ago to check out this podcast called Make Dad Read Comics. It's fantastic. It's a podcast that centers around a guy who's a grown man. You know, I imagine him to be probably roughly my age, like early 30s, maybe late 20s. I don't know. He seems like he's... If I had to picture him based on his voice, I picture him being younger and better looking than me. I think he's a teacher or something. But he gets together with his dad and gives him a trade paperback. During the course of the week, dad will read that comic book, sometimes on the toilet, much to the chagrin of our protagonist on Make Dad Read Comics. And the come back and he'll be concerned about there being shit on his comic, or like be concerned about the conditions of the trade paperback. And they'll go in, they'll do like a little in-depth discussion about the contents of that comic. And it's really kind of eye-opening because you realize how much we take for granted as comic book readers. We take for granted that we know how to read them. Like, we know how to move from panel to panel. We understand when it jumps from one scene to another, or chronology, or things being in canon, or the different universes. Like, to the outsider, you could think, like, oh, why doesn't Spider-Man come help out Batman? You know? And we take it for granted that we're like, oh, that's a completely different company, you know? That's a different universe.
They don't live in the same world.
Yeah. Dad doesn't really understand that, and it's kind of fun to listen to it. Even if you aren't well immersed in comic books, and you just want to hear something that is legitimately heartwarming, but also, like, the dude on the show, like, gives his dad such shit. Like, he just, like, he really dresses him down every episode.
I only listened to part of one, and it doesn't sound like just someone sitting there reading you a comic book.
No, they're just...
It's not like that.
They aren't reading the comic book on the air. They're talking about the story. It's really cool. It's one of my favorite podcasts. I look forward to it. Each week, I think they upload new episodes on a Sunday, so you got it fresh and ready on Monday. They're typically, like, I want to say, like, about half an hour long. And it's worth your time. The other new one that I've been loving lately is Nerd Poker, which is a little bit more... See, in podcasting, I've got different standards for podcasts. There's, like, podcasts like the ones that we make, where it's, like, street level. We're recording into one mic, going into a computer, getting, like, harshly edited and put up. And we got no one sponsoring us. We got no money. And we're just fucking doing it, you know? And then there's a podcast like Nerd Poker, which features a celebrity, Brian Posehn. You know him from doing stand-up comedy, Sarah Silverman Show. He wrote Deadpool, or writes Deadpool.
No shit.
Anyway, he gets together with four or five of his friends pretty much once a week and plays Dungeons & Dragons, and they record it. And it's really fun to listen to. And again, you don't have to have ever had any knowledge of Dungeons and Dragons to get it. It's mostly, like, you get wrapped up in the story. There's, like, an ongoing story going on here with people, like, playing these characters. And it really made me want to get together and play some fucking nerd poker with my people. But I realized I have no people. I have not enough people to play nerd poker. But yeah, so if you're at all interested in comedy, storytelling, whatever, Nerd Poker is a good podcast. That one runs about an hour. I don't know necessarily if there's a specific day that it gets uploaded, but look up both those podcasts. If I had to pick one to really push you toward, I'm going with Make Dad Read Comics, because it's truly an original idea, really well executed. It'll make you want to get together with somebody that you know that has no idea about your hobby of comic book reading, and introducing them to that world. And it doesn't even have to be comics. Maybe you're really into hockey and you're going to start trying to get your wife into hockey, or maybe you're really into hiking and you got a friend that just sits inside playing video games all the time. It's about introducing somebody to something brand new to them and witnessing in real time the frustration of the seasoned pro and the judgments or the miscalculations made by the noob. Tons of fun. Great podcast. But Nerd Poker, definitely, like, I want to put it in there because if you're at all like me, it's going to speak to your sensibilities, and it's going to chew up some of your time. And I listen to a lot of podcasts each week at work. I work alone, so oftentimes I need something going on to keep me from going fucking insane. And podcasts have been that thing. And that's why we started podcasting. Yep. So those are some shits that I like. What are some shits that you like?
I've just been looking forward to my weekly dose of Hollywood Babylon, of course.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman.
Love it.
Live from the Bray Improv.
Mm-hmm.
They just talk shit about celebrities. It's fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
What else?
It doesn't have to be just podcasts. It can be...
Oh, other shit I'm into?
This shit you're into.
Well, that's not my podcast pick, though, by any means. I've been listening to What Say You a lot.
That's a great podcast.
That shit has me rolling every time. I have an hour and a half commute to and from work, and there's been times where I'm like, holy shit, I'm home. And the podcast is still going.
If you aren't familiar with Impractical Jokers, it's a TV show. It's on True TV. It's a bunch of guys daring each other to do shit. And one of the guys is Brian Quinn. The other guy is Sal something.
Yeah, Sal...
Sal Volante?
Yeah.
What the fuck is it?
Salvi.
Sal.
Sal.
Sal. What's up, Sal? His name... I don't know what Sal's last name is.
Starts with a V.
But they're both good guys. Yeah. They're both on that show, and they're both doing this podcast, What Say You?
And they're fucking hilarious. Holy shit. They just tell some stories. There's one episode with Ray Wood Jr. Roy Wood Jr.
Roy Wood Jr.
Yeah. Holy crap. That shit had me dying. It's just... They just tell stories. They just talk to each other. It's fucking hilarious.
Good pods.
Yeah, really good. It'll help you kill a couple hours easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, I am into nothing.
Yeah. We're going to do... We got a little bit of time before New Year. Neither of us are, like, going away before New Year, right?
No.
So we'll do, like, a year-end wrap-up where we'll talk about...
That'll be episode 30, too. That'll be fucking perfect.
Yeah, we'll do that along with Secret Origins. We'll, like, blend the two. We'll talk about the best movies of the year. We'll talk about the best comics of the year.
Yes.
Best books we've read. Best places we've been. Those will be the questions.
Cool.
How's that, Ruby?
Yeah, that sounds fucking
We'll come
perfect.
Up with some questions about our favorite shit of 2013. So if you're interested in the year of 2013, tune in next time here at Bad Words. We'll be back with episode 30, Secret Origins 3.
Boom.
Boom. Thank you very much for tuning in again. Spread the word. Show some love on the internet.
Also, I'm pretty sure we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but go on to our various things. We got a new thing up with Michael and his brother called the Brothers Conrad. Bad Words Media Presents Episode 1, The Brothers Conrad.
That's what it's going to be for. It's going to be...
We're going to have hopefully other podcasts going on underneath that Bad Words Media name, but...
We're going to have to.
Right now,
you're going out of town for a little bit come January.
Fuck, dude, I'm going to be gone almost all of the first half of the next year.
So I'm gonna have Dick teach me how to upload stuff. We'll keep it going on. But yeah, check out some other stuff. We'll, maybe Dick will be able to record some shit on the road and tell us a little
totally,
bit.
Totally, yeah, yeah. I can sit down and we can Skype each other in and whatnot.
Or I'd love to just hear you.
Vincent have been doing.
I'd love to hear you talk with some of your military folk about military life. We aren't just fucking one thing. We aren't a couple of fucking geeks who are just going to talk about bitching on how Netflix doesn't have enough good shit or what have you. We got other things going on.
We're multifaceted.
We want to share as much as we can with you guys, and we hope you're down for the ride. At our hearts and in our souls, we're fucking just a couple of guys who like getting together and talking.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I guess for a little bit you're going to hear us getting together and talking with some other people. And that's all gravy. Do you feel cheated on?
No, not at all.
All right. I won't feel cheated on.
Good, you shouldn't.
I'll miss this, though.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get together.
We will. It'll be on the internet.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, check out...
Check out the Brothers Conrad.
Check out Brothers Conrad and check out next episode, episode 30, Secret Origins 3. We'll be bringing our year-end wrap-up and some more hot questions. Hugs and kisses. Treat each other well. And,
have a good Christmas. Be safe. Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, and in the words of the Joker, never rub another man's rhubarb.